There were four or five of us on public assistance and trying to figure out how to get by, how to make life better for ourselves. So we started meeting, and over the course of the next year, we realized if we really wanted to do effective work, we were going to have to be an organization. So that's how we got started. And if you'd asked me 25 years ago if I thought we'd still be around, I couldn't have even envisioned it. But here we are.
Well, what is the reason that you've managed to stick around for 25 years as an active organization?
Well, I think a big part of it is because the work is never done. You know, we're aiming for social justice. We're aiming for decent lives for poor people who get left out of the equation over and over again when decisions are made. So our goal has always been to make sure that poor people's voices are included in decisions that are made about us. Now, that's not always so easy, but it continues to be our goal. And, you know, many of the problems that we faced 25 years ago are actually worse now than they were then. Lack of good paying jobs, lack of affordable housing. So we still have our work cut out for us.
Do you get discouraged at all?
I have my moments. But no, there's always another angle, another way to approach an organizing issue. And, you know, fortunately, we've had some big successes through the years, too. So those are the kinds of things that can help us stay focused and keep going, knowing that sometimes we can win.
Now, as an anti-poverty organization, what would you say some of the biggest obstacles that you face now?
Probably the biggest one is the sense that has been created among the middle class that we're to blame for the economic woes of our country, whereas, you know, really the impact of poor people on our economy, we are not the cause of what's going on, everything that we have to deal with right now. But there's been a lot of finger-pointing and blaming, and people tend to look at those people that they can identify, which is the people that are closest to them, other, you know, poor people, rather than looking up the food chain at who's really profiting from the economy being the way it is, because some people are sure profiting. I would say lack of affordable housing is the biggest issue I can think of right now, because it's destabilizing our entire community, that people have to move over and over again. Kids have to change schools, and you lose the sense of, I mean, 25 years ago, you could live in a poor neighborhood and still have a lot of solidarity because you knew who your neighbors were. That tends to be much less true today.
One of your biggest and one of your successful campaigns was in the political arena, where you fought to bring ward representation to the city council in Springfield. That happened a few years ago, but has that worked out the way you hoped it would?
Most of it has. A little of it hasn't. You know, we really didn't. Every campaign we take on is a learning experience for us also. So when we first realized that our city council was all at large and what that meant and how it was dominated by white, affluent people all from the same section of the city, we started thinking, what would city government look like if it looked like the rest of our community? And that's when we started to work on ward representation. So we've got a great city council. It certainly laid the groundwork for another success that we've had around stopping a biomass plant. And my disappointment so far is that there hasn't been enough competition for the ward seats. I don't think any elected official should ever run uncontested. And to the degree that they do, it's a weakness of democracy and something we have to keep working on.
You mentioned the biomass facility. That was something new for Arise, correct? Getting into environmental activism?
Well, it was new, but now, 3 years later, we're saying, of course it's about us. So we got into it because we could see that having a biomass incinerator in Springfield was going to have a direct impact on the health of our community, especially the low-income community. So, you know, that's why we got involved. Since then, our consciousness has certainly been evolving the same way I think the rest of the countries has. You know, environmental issues are really public health issues in disguise. They all affect us. And our goal this year is to try to get Springfield to develop a climate change plan, not all on their own, but with lots and lots of input from regular people who have great ideas. So we don't want to have a climate change plan just from the top down, but also from the bottom up. And I'm very excited about this direction, and I think we'll succeed.
People who want to help out in your efforts or find out more about your organization, what can they do?
Well, they can definitely give us a call at 734-4948. We also have a Facebook page and a blog. That wouldn't be too hard to you know, find us there. We're especially right now, probably the most urgent need we have right now is to figure out what to do with the homeless families that are no longer eligible for shelter because of changes in state rules. So while we're working to change these state rules, we've just got a lot of families to deal with, and we're hoping to set up a network of churches. We've got a lot of work to do, and if anyone would like to help us on this front, we'd very much appreciate it.